I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, the ridiculous two-party propaganda. And today we're going to talk about the oligarchs of Silicon Valley who we'll be taking on here from now on as well. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there. Today is Tuesday. I will do a little bit of a Tech Tuesday segment today. I think this will be something helpful. While usually I cast a suspicious eye towards technology trends that I think we need to pay attention to, today we're going to take a look at some technology trends that have already blown up in our faces, and that is the big major Silicon Valley oligarch-controlled establishment companies that are silencing and censoring conservative and now left-wing groups. This is the usual list of suspects: Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube, which are actually the same company. Google owns YouTube. It is time to take these companies on. It is time to see them fall. They have betrayed the public trust. Google even changed its motto from "Don't be evil" to, I believe they have rolled out, "Do the right thing." In their mind, the right thing is to control speech, to censor search results, to get us all corralled into a digital gulag of their creating. Whether even if you are a radical leftist, you should oppose this censorship. Most people, either on the right or the left, as long as things are going their way, they cannot see far enough, they cannot back up far enough, see far enough down the road to understand what dangerous trend it is if you suppress other people's opinions. If you think you are so smart, if you think your ideas are so good, then you should be able to win the day in a debate or just by putting your ideas out there and the other side putting their ideas out there and let people come to their own decision. But it doesn't matter who's in control of this stuff. We try to crush the other people, try to silence them, and it is especially bad on the left right now. We'll talk today in Tech Tuesday. I found just a good article. I'll post it to my Facebook page. We'll see if this doesn't get me kicked off Facebook. But it is alternatives to the current. It's alternatives to Twitter. It's alternatives to Facebook. Alternatives to Google. I've talked about the fact I've changed all my settings to use DuckDuckGo now. I will not search on Google. I still have Gmail accounts. I guess I'll have to work on that. I've got so many dang emails going into... I canceled a cable subscription that I had a email address assigned to and didn't even really even think about it. And suddenly I get these, "Why aren't you responding to my emails?" And I say, "Oh, gosh, you know, I didn't realize." Anyway, so on Tech Tuesday today, this article is five alternatives to social media stuff, and I'm just going to do my part here, my humble little radio show and our little Central Mississippi market of getting these things out there, and hopefully other people around the country will do the same thing, and maybe we can get ahead of steam going into the entire country to turn our back on Facebook, turn our back on Google and Twitter. You know, they're destructive, societally destructive platforms, the way that they have manifested themselves anyway. We've taken tools that could have been used for good, and as human beings do, we exploit the flaws and we've allowed these things to divide us in the first place. If you're on Facebook and Twitter yelling at people that you don't even know, or if you're unfriending people you've known for 15 years because they disagree with you politically, come on, get off these platforms. It's unhealthy. It's 1 week until the midterm elections. I am still really surprised. I looked again yesterday. The polls that I'm seeing on Real Clear Politics and some other polls are still showing Cindy Hyde-Smith well ahead of Chris McDaniels. I've seen numbers that show that Mike Espy is moving up. And I'm still curious about it. I've been watching these, and I know. Here's what people say when they see polls that are inconvenient. They say, well, they got polls wrong during the Trump election. They gave Hillary a 97% chance of winning the presidency, and you see what happened. These polls are always bogus. But then when they see a poll that says Trump approval rating at 50%, they go, look at that. Look at the polls are showing that he's up. They'll say Trump's approval rating within the black community is 36%. Conservatives will say, look at that. The polls are showing it. Blacks are coming along to the Trump movement and to, you know, they're leaving the Democratic Party. I hope that that's true. And I'm sure that Trump is more popular than other Republicans have been in the black community. But it's just funny. We pick and choose which polls we believe and which ones we don't. I'm not saying I don't believe the polls that Cindy Hyde Smith is winning. I'm just surprised by it because I have yet again to meet a human being who came up to me and said, oh, no, Cindy Hyde Smith's the right woman for the job. So my question is, did Trump's endorsement, I said this when it happened. I said the sad thing about Trump coming and endorsing Cindy Hyde Smith is that it is going to sway those 100% Trump loyalists that they will send Cindy Hyde Smith back up there. Now, again, I did nothing against her. I've heard she's a nice woman from some people. I nothing against her personally. I just don't get it. I don't get the Roger Wicker votes in the primary. I don't get these things. If anybody, though, the lines are open for the next week to anybody who wants to call up and explain to me, because you may make a point that I have not considered. Now, as a conservative and as a libertarian, I find most of the people that go to Washington, D.C. pretty abhorrent. But just as a, if I was just a regular Republican who understood the scam that Washington, D.C. has become and was, I get the sense we are still, in Mississippi even, largely anti-establishment. So why do we line up behind establishment candidates? How do you support Donald Trump as the disruptor? Turn your back on Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and, you know, some of the other establishment players that ran for presidency and go with the unknown, the cage rattling Donald Trump, and then line up behind Thad Cochran, Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde Smith. I'll go to the polls and I'll vote for Chris McDaniel next Tuesday. Because and I've said before, I'm fully prepared that if he should happen to win somehow, I'm prepared to be disappointed by him. We're disappointed by just about everybody we send to Washington, D.C. It will not be a surprise to me, but at least it's a shot at something different. I think I got a pretty good sense where Cindy Hyde Smith is. She's an establishment player. She will do what the party tells her to do. I've got a Republican today. I'm going to spend some time on an interview that he did that is not a team player, but he makes perfect sense. And I'll challenge anybody, if you stick around in the show and listen to the clip that I play, to explain to me where this Republican is wrong. I want a cage-rattling Republican. It's why I voted for Donald Trump. Why are Mississippians lined up behind some of the most establishment candidates? What is it about us? Are we easily led? Are we simpletons here? Are we waiting for our marching orders? Are we beholden to this party? Because I don't think enough people really benefit. Now, I know the party players benefit. They get, you know, they're playing inside baseball, may get contracts associated with their position in the Republican Party. Look, if you're making money off establishment Republicans, then go with God. I at least understand that. I don't endorse it. I don't think that's a good thing to sacrifice your country to line your own pocketbook. But if you're making money off of it, at least I understand. For those of you out there that are ready to vote for more establishment Republicans in Mississippi, just explain it to me. Explain to me why Thad Cochran stayed in office as long as he did. I guess maybe we weren't hip to this idea that the establishment had sold us out. It took us a long time. It took me some time. It took me probably 10 years of being a Kool-Aid drinking, neocon, warmongering Republican chicken hawk myself before I woke up. But seriously, it's 2018. How much more waking up time do we need here? We're going to go vote for more establishment people. I will go to the polls and I will vote for the Libertarian candidate against Roger Wicker. And I will vote for Chris McDaniel. If Chris McDaniel somehow does not make the runoff, and if the Libertarian Party candidate against Roger Wicker, Danny Bedwell, does not happen to win, which is a long shot, he has no money. If those things don't happen, when the runoff comes, I will stay home. I will not go pull a lever for an establishment Republican candidate because I got to tell you, I don't see a whole lot of difference. And I'm not going to empower the establishment Republicans anymore. I'd rather protest by sitting at home. It'll save me a tenth of a gallon of gas. It's not worth it to get off the couch and do that. Why is Mississippi so beholden? Why are we so, we're so easily brought into this camp, even though all of the rhetoric, I mean, all of the rhetoric is anti-establishment everywhere. But Mississippi, we just go up and we just head behind whoever they tell us, whoever they pick out for us. Thad Cochran against Chris McDaniel the last time was just a disgusting display of establishment politics. And everybody knows it. It's the worst kept secret in the world that they just kept Thad Cochran there because the establishment did not want Chris McDaniel in to upset the apple cart and mess up the establishment status quo game. So they put a cutout Thad Cochran up there that they knew would not serve out his entire term. Yet he told you he would. And I heard conservative radio show hosts around here say, well, I don't know if this is the best thing, but Thad's done such a good job for us. Let's just give him one more chance. I mean, at the last minute, they all blinked. They knew that there was something wrong with the establishment, but when it came down to voting time, I heard these people on other stations, by the way, other stations where you are corralled into the Mississippi Republican Party. Makes you feel like you're part of the club. I'm Republican. I support Republicans. You're part of the club. Yeah. So I listened to that, and I watched people just got Thad Cochran right back there. In one of, as I said, one of the most transparent attempts to keep the establishment in charge that I've seen in quite some time. And we did it, and nobody cared. Got a caller online. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes. How are you today, Mike?
Good. How are you?
All right. I've got one thing to say. I've been listening to you, and I'm a little confused on you were saying that you wouldn't go if there's a runoff and McDaniel's not in there. And that kind of just telling people to go ahead and put a Democrat in there. And the reason I'm saying this is this, and I heard what you said about Thad Cochran. I don't know what all he has done, but during his whole period of time. But I do know, he kind of helped protect the military a lot. And at the same time, I know when I had problems with the VA, I went to twice to Congressman Thompson's office, but I only went once, and I got no serious help at all. And the second time I called, the second time I had a problem with the VA, I talked to whoever he was, the receptionist or whatever. And I was talked down to so badly that I said, maybe he didn't really mean anything by it. Maybe I just took it personally.
This is Benny Thompson's office?
I'll wrap it up real quickly. What I did is I left there. I wouldn't even go. I wouldn't even make an appointment. I went down to see Senator Cochran's office, and each time he was able to help me both times. And I mean, I felt welcomed, and I felt like he had a genuine, even though I didn't see him personally, had a genuine interest in what was going on with me. And next thing I know, the VA out of Atlanta has sent me a letter pretty much apologizing to me. And I said, well, this is what I'm talking about. You get people that's going to do something for you.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine, maybe I'm reading you wrong, but people are not going that low. You think, okay, let's put a Democrat in office.
No, it doesn't really matter. I'll be somewhat alone in that, I'm sure. But, I mean, I got to tell you, there's a lot of things in there to kind of unpack, and we don't spend a whole bunch of time as far as protecting the military. I mean, what's come up as far as what we ask our kids to do in the military now is just so far away from what the founding fathers envisioned, and it's bankrupting the country. So, Thad Cochran is appropriations guy for for some period of time, I will argue, did not do us any favors and certainly didn't do our kids or grandkids any favors when this country goes bust, because they've set us on this course and we got $21 trillion in debt at the end of his long, long tenure there. So I'm glad he had some constituent services. That seems like the baseline that anybody should do. And the fact that Benny Thompson didn't care about you is not a surprise to anybody listening to this station. So, yeah, they should have some constituent services. But my problem is I do not see – you're talking about a woman who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2008. This was a registered Democrat who's come over and has decided for some unknown reason to be the standard bearer for the Republican Party on this side. I'm not going to support that. I'm just not. And you know – some people see, I don't play that two-party game where I feel like I've got to make sure that my team wins. Now, if the left can possibly win in this environment, I'm stunned. I mean, the Republicans should be so far ahead right now, and maybe they really are, and the media is trying to paint this as a neck-and-neck race so they get plenty of ad buys on their stations and stuff. I mean, if this thing is even close to the Democrats taking the House, I am stunned. It just shows the ignorance of the American people. I'm just not going to play this game where the establishment gets to pick my candidate for me. I'm not going to do it. That negates the people, and it puts us back. I'm not going to vote out of fear. I'm either going to vote for somebody that I like and that I believe in, or I'm not going to vote out of fear of Democrats controlling the Senate. And the chances of Democrats taking the Senate anyway. And look, Cindy Hyde-Smith's going to win no matter what I say anyway, if she gets to the runoff. I'm saying the Mississippi's got a chance to find somebody outside, an anti-establishment guy, love him or be question him or whatever. We've got a chance to buck this trend of the Roger Wicker, Thad Cochran, Greg Harper establishment candidate parade that we send up there to rubber stamp everything the Republican leadership wants to do. We've got a chance to rebel against that. And if Mississippi's can't see past the nose on their face to understand that they need to stop sending these people up there, then I'm not going to participate in the Mississippi Republican Party picking another establishment rubber stamp candidate.
Okay, I understand. Well, listen, you take good care and have a blessed
week. Hey, thanks, Willie. Appreciate the call, man. All right, ran a little long. Got to take a break. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. The funny thing, something that at least that I find funny. See, people will listen to me say, you know, I'm not going to get up and go vote if it's Cindy Hyde-Smith versus Mike Espy. I'm not going to. Why would I bother to vote? Well, that's you got to vote. I mean, look where voting's gotten us. I got to tell you, man. It's the illusion of some kind of choice. What if we got to keep Republicans in charge because next time we're going to get that real conservative in. We just got to keep electing these establishment players. When is soon? Look, I like playing poker. I should be able to admit that here. You know, it's still illegal for you in the freest country on the planet to have a game where you play for dimes. You get a bunch of your friends around a table to play poker for dimes. But I'm just going to go ahead and admit it here. I like playing poker. I'll put a poker game together. I'll invite Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde-Smith, and Greg Harper. I bet you we'd have a nice time. I bet you they're wonderful people in real life. I heard good things about Cindy Hyde-Smith as Agricultural Commission. But here's the funny thing to me. Mike, how could you say you wouldn't vote? You don't get to complain if you don't vote. That's just immature and ridiculous in the first place. But here's the thing. I was talking to somebody the other day. Actually, a couple of people I've had this conversation with, and they say, I don't know if Chris McDaniel could win the runoff. They've said this. Now, what does that imply? It implies that Republicans in this state would sit home if he wins. And everybody just accepts this as just fact. Now, I don't believe it's true. I don't know if that's a scare tactic put out by the Cindy Hyde Smith campaign. I don't know if it's people making this leap to say that they don't think if what people are saying is true, because the establishment GOP, this is why I say please quit sending the Republican Party your money. If you like Cindy Hyde Smith, send her some money. If you like Chris McDaniel, send him some money. If you like a candidate in Kansas, send him some money. Don't send it to the national GOP. They pick players, people that they can count on to do what they want to do. And let me tell you, both parties are captured by special interest. We know this. Do we have to keep going over this? So if you send to the parties, they send it out to the candidates that they've rubber stamped. So if they're not behind somebody, it's because maybe they're not a player in this disgusting game that they have given us. But back to my point. People will say, well, if Cindy Hyde Smith gets the nod and goes into a runoff with Mike Espy, then Mississippi is a reliably red state, and we will send Cindy Hyde Smith up there, and that will be another Republican up in the Senate. But the same people will say, I don't know, though, if we vote for Chris McDaniel and he gets into a runoff, I'm not sure he can beat Mike Espy. So doesn't that just mathematically mean that there's a whole lot of establishment Republicans that will not step up for the Republican Party and send a Republican up there if it's not their chosen candidate? See, the establishment did this in 2016. How many more times are we going to feed this beast? The establishment's people like Bill Kristol, who's been leading Republicans by the nose into neocon wars and other ridiculousness. I used to love the guy. I probably used to quote him at cocktail parties. It makes my skin crawl to think that I was a supporter of Bill Kristol and George Will and George Bush and Karl Rove. I mean, these people, they tricked me. But those people did not vote for Donald Trump. They didn't support the Republican Party. I guarantee you the Bush family, probably et al., voted for Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. See, Republicans will tell you, "Oh, you've got to play. We got to stop those Democrats," unless it's not their chosen candidate. Then they don't seem to really care. A lot of establishment Republicans either didn't vote for Donald Trump or voted for Hillary Clinton. We all know this. They've said it in public. It's not a secret. So don't give me this, we've got to stop them, you know, like being a Republican means you have some kind of a moral responsibility to get out there and vote, because people exercise different variances of that all the time. Man, I'm sick of the establishment picking out candidates, and I think most people are too. So my question is, again, I give you this number. The Mazda Jackson phone line here is 601-879-0002. Give me an impassioned reason to send Cindy Hyde Smith up to Washington, D.C. alongside Roger Wicker, man. How much more establishment can you get? Are we that reliably a rubber stamp state? Do we not have, you know, I look at Kentucky, man. Kentucky sent Thomas Massie. He's very popular in Kentucky. Now, I like him because he's a libertarian. He votes no on stuff. He won't do more spending. He is really not the swamp. Kentucky can send Rand Paul as a senator there. He's not rubber stamp. He's got real ideas about shrinking the federal government. All the things the Republicans pretend to be for, like reduced spending and a smaller government, he actually does. Why can Kentucky put together some free-thinking, true conservatives and send them to Washington, D.C., and we have to just keep rubber-stamping the establishment choices over and over again? Why is that in Mississippi? What is it about us that makes us so easy? And don't say, well, we don't have a chance. I mean, these are the only choices they give us. No, we're faced with one right now. Chris McDaniel is a different kind of choice. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. Mike, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm guessing you probably looked on Facebook to see how many likes that register on Senator McDaniel's Facebook page versus Senator Hyde Smith's Facebook page. Have you ever noticed that?
I'm not a Facebooker at all, so no. So what's going on there?
Well, Cindy, she's gone down a little bit from 17 in the past couple of months, down to 14. And Chris McDaniel has picked up a few thousand. He's up to 220,000.
Wait, Cindy Hyde-Smith has 17, 14,000?
She has 14,000 likes on her Facebook page.
Oh, I was...
She has 220,000.
Yeah. Well,
he has an incredible ground game.
Yes.
He has been ground pounding all over the state. And it's incredible, the kind of person-to-person campaign that McDaniel has. He puts his cell phone number all over Facebook, and people call him, and then they go on and share their experience that they've had. They say, hey, look, this guy is a real guy, okay? We need to be backing these kinds of people.
So what do you think? Is the polling wrong? I mean, because I am stunned by the fact there's
all, polling is always wrong. Polling is always going to try to suit the conscience of the people that the media are trying to pander to. You're speaking to someone from the media.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, because I'm stunned by what I'm seeing in the polling. Yeah.
I mean, that's how we've always seen it. I mean, there's always going to be, they always say whatever it is that is going to back up. They use polling data to hedge their political bet, in other words.
Yeah.
To give them more credibility in the media. This is the way we hope it's going to go. It's kind of like hurricane forecasting.
Well, you know, what's impressive, especially kind of depressing about this particular situation, is that you've got a situation where you've got these two Republicans and one Democrat. And so we know, I mean, it is a risk-free vote to vote for either one of these Republicans, because one of them is going to get into a runoff, because the two of them combined are going to get more than 50%, which means SB can't get more than 50%. There will be a runoff. This is the one chance that Mississippians have to actually vote their conscience and do something disruptive with no downside. Because if you're scared that, there's no fear that the Democrat is going to get over 50% and win outright, so you're going to have a second chance at it to get behind whatever Republican gets the nomination. I mean, this is about as risk-free as it gets in politics, because you have a chance to vote your conscience. And I'm looking at these polls, and I hope you're right.
Well,
here's the only thing behind
the appointed candidate is the Trump nomination. I mean, the Trump endorsement.
Do you think that mattered?
And they wrote a rebuke to the governor saying, why did you appoint this candidate back in March, if you remember? Okay, that's published. It's in the media. It hadn't gotten any attention, but that's on record. The White House did not like her as the appointed replacement for Cochran. And so originally he had the president had endorsed McDaniel. Now, when McDaniel didn't win, even though it was illegitimate, it's still that kind of thing where the president can't stand behind somebody who didn't win. It's kind of like the Roy situation out in Alabama, right? So he's got to back the president's going to have a real hard time not backing the incumbent candidate in the Senate because of the political game that he's got to play.
Yeah, I get that. My question is, do you think that actually had any weight with the average American, Mississippian?
That's what I'm saying. That's her only political leg to stand on, is his nomination. And the simple fact that she might get some votes just because she's the incumbent and has that name recognition. Okay. I mean, there's always that percentage. It's just kind of the low information conservative voter that's just going to say, well, Cindy Hutchman, she's my Senate, I won't vote for her. They just do it by default, the default voter,
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So you've got, but outside of that, the enlightened, freedom-loving American is interested in Chris McDaniel, and that's on both sides of the political fence. He's proven himself to be real in real situations. I don't know if you've heard some of the interviews that he's had recently.
Look, I like listening to him speak. I mean, and I like who he's lined up with. I mean, I'm a libertarian conservative, so I like when he mentions Rand Paul and Mike Lee. You know, these are the people that he wants to hang out with.
Exactly, and that's his stance.
Right.
Precisely.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, his language is great.
And people identify with that. And the message that I'm trying to get across to people is, look, the only answer to saving our republic on a consistent basis is nominating people from our communities and taking part in our civic government on the city level, the county level, going to council meetings. You got to do that at least, you know, once every couple of months. You got to keep up with what's going on. And this is how you do that. And if we don't send him up there, it's not going to bode well for sending more in the future. If we send him up there, more people are going to see, hey, if Chris McDaniel can do it, I might could do it.
Amen. And this is, like I say, this is a layup. It's a rare opportunity that you have to get for the Republican Party to get two bites at the apple. They can they get a freebie in this first runoff because there will be a in the first election, because there will be a runoff. The two, Cindy Hyde-Smith and Chris McDaniel, will get more than 50% of the vote, which means it goes to a runoff. So you've got a another chance at it. So you can really vote your conscience. Now, you know, the difference is sometimes you don't get two bites at the apple. You know, you just you take a flyer on somebody that you, and people say, well, you threw away your vote. There is no throwing away this time. Voting for Chris McDaniel in the election, it means that you can do exactly what you want to do. You see through the establishment game, you vote for McDaniel. If for some reason it doesn't work out, you've still got an opportunity to make sure the seat stays Republican. So this is just such an easy one to finally bust up this establishment that everybody seems to rebel against, but polls are just not looking good. You're encouraging me, and hopefully you're right.
There's one thing that I want to add to this. I'm actually I've been a poll manager, so I'm a marketer. I do a lot of information reception, and so the thing I want to get across to you is there's one thing that I've noticed, and that is, as far as voter turnout, who turns out, there's voter confidence is a big factor in who's going to turn out for what candidate, and McDaniel inspires a lot of voter confidence. People who wouldn't normally go, they're going to make a point to go.
Right, some passion level. Yeah,
there's a commitment secured there because he you know, it's just a real personal relationship type thing. Okay, it's not. I just can't be any. I can't say any more than that than be cliche.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, that, you know, and that would be kind of the alternative of that to me was, and again, not to just keep hammering this guy, but either 118,000 people voted for Roger Wicker in a primary where he was essentially unopposed, and I just think, what was the passion play that got people off the couch, 118,000 of them, to go vote for a guy that was a shoe-in in the first place and is a rubber stamp for the establishment?
Haven't had, you know, I've never voted for a senator who wasn't appointed. Neither have you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, so it's real easy. That's basically how they've, you know, gotten around the 18th Amendment. You know, that's how they've gotten control of the Senate.
Yeah.
Taking it out of the political process because it's such a long-term seat. That's easy just to forget about it.
Right, and that's the other beautiful thing about this is that Cindy Hyde-Smith is so new that she doesn't have all that momentum of 3-4 years of incumbency. She's relatively new. She was really a placeholder to this election next week. So we have an opportunity to really have kind of a clean slate choice. She doesn't have the power of incumbency. Man, I really do appreciate the call. I got to run to a break. I'm running a little bit long, but thanks for calling in.
Sure thing, Mike.
All right, thanks. All right, running a little long. Got to take a break. This is an interesting topic. It just seems like such a slam dunk for Mississippi to do something different. I'm hoping, and again, see, I'm getting calls, I'm getting texts, I'm getting emails from people who are all thinking that this Chris McDaniel thing is for real and that people aren't passionate for Cindy Hyde-Smith. It just seems that that's the way it is, and the polls, I keep looking at them, and they slap me in the face every time I look. Hopefully they're dead wrong. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
This is going to be a short segment. I got to take another break. I didn't manage my time well. But look, there's one point to make here. In Brazil, they just elected a populist leader. They're calling him the Tropical Trump. The British voted to leave the European Union. In Italy, they've had shakeups along the same populist route. We elected Donald Trump as opposed to 16 other largely establishment outside of maybe Rand Paul and Ted Cruz a little bit. We elected Donald Trump. See, people are rising. You know, this is a chance for Mississippi to tell the establishment kingmakers who have provided us our leadership for so long, we've given them a chance. And what did we get? We got $22 trillion in debt. This year they will run they will need to borrow $1.3 trillion in this last budget, even though they control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. There's been no border control over the years that they've been in charge, has there? Not any of it. We've had endless wars around the world, endless wars that have not served the American people. And Obamacare is still firmly in place. This is with establishment picks. Now, I support Chris McDaniel because I like what he says. I hope he lives up to it, and I'll hold his feet to the fire should he get elected. But this is Mississippi's chance to say the people that you've given us have not accomplished those things that you told us that they would accomplish. Oh, yeah, they gave us some tax cuts. That's great. But have you noticed the debt? I'm just not comfortable leaving our children with $21 trillion in debt. But if the Republicans continue to run up $1.3 trillion in new debt each year, what are our kids going to inherit? A bankrupt nation. That's not fair. We've taken their choices. We've lived with them for decades now. This is the one chance Mississippi has to say the kingmakers in Mississippi do not decide anymore. We decide. We matter. And you have not delivered. So we're going to try it our way for once. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, I am 51 years old, and I believe I have been called for a political poll once in my adult life. I don't know how they're conducting these polls, if they're still attached to landlines. I don't know if they get cell phone. I don't know exactly how polling is done anymore. So I think that that is certainly the change in the way people communicate. You know, the fact we don't, and just with caller ID, we don't answer numbers that we don't know. So I always understand there's got to, I'm sure they've adapted in some way, but I've never had a poll. I think the caller that called earlier is right. I mean, I think there's some passion on the Chris McDaniel side, and it is that passion that stirs within people, this uprising of people saying enough is enough with this garbage you've been giving us for forever. That's what elected Donald Trump. Enough is enough. Now, he had the personality to bust through. There are people that would be better presidents of the United States than Donald Trump. Mike, what did you just say? How dare you? No. Look, Trump's got his really strong suits. I think Trump's got some great instincts. But he's a politician, and he's doing things that I don't think are great. He's certainly better than the alternative. I'll grant you that. There is no argument there. But it's funny, talk about the passion of the voters for for Chris McDaniel versus Cindy Hyde Smith. I don't. This is the umpteenth time I've said on air, if you're a passionate Cindy Hyde Smith supporter, then please call into the show and state the case for Cindy Hyde Smith. I've asked that at least 20 times. I've never gotten a call, but I get a lot of people on Chris McDaniel's side who call me to talk about Chris McDaniel. There does seem to be a passion deficit on the Cindy Hyde Smith side. Got a caller on the line. Maybe this is a Cindy Hyde Smith backer. Caller, are you with me?
No, I'm not a Cindy Hyde Smith backer.
What a shock. Chris, what a shock.
I'm a Chris McDaniel backer.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say is that, yes, they are using cell phones to contact people, because I've received 3 Democrat texts, and they usually call me by the wrong name, so I'm sure that somebody must have had this phone number before I had it.
Wait, did you say
they are using cell phones?
You said you're getting texts? Like,
yes,
poll.
I'm receiving texts. I have 3 of them.
So what do you? What are they? They're asking you a question. Do you respond to the text with your responses? How does that work?
Well, yes, you do respond, because one asked me, said just last night, are you voting for ESPY? We saw that you were signed up to help us at the polls. Are you still with us? And I'm thinking, whoever signed up, it was not myself. But that's how they do. And I text back, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a Republican, and I plan on voting for Chris McDaniel.
Well, I guess maybe that's one way to get your name off the list. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess maybe somebody had that number before you, or somebody put in a bad number. That's interesting. So, well, at least they're on the cell phones. But I don't know how I've dodged all this stuff. But like I say, I've only been asked for jury duty once, and I served, and I've gotten one call as a political poll in my entire adult life. So I just wonder about polling. But I appreciate that from the ground.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks. Bye bye. So, I guess they're contacting people. You know, the thinking was for a while that, you know, polls were geared towards older people who still have landline phones, and they're leaving out younger generations. I mean, I just look at this national thing and I just say, what is going on that there could even be a possibility of some kind of a blue wave? Now, I think most people probably listening to this think it's all garbage, but And I understand the media motives for trying to keep things close, because they want those ad buys. They want ad buys on CNN or, you know, the local affiliates of people that are airing CNN at the local cable. I mean, I understand the game of all that stuff. But look, the Republicans are massively flawed. I take after them here every single day. But the left has lost their collective minds. There's so many people in the middle. I was reading an article yesterday that the people who aren't really passionate about anybody are the ones that are going to tip this election. There's a big swath of people that are not Trump loyalists and they're not Trump haters. They're just kind of watching things. And I guess I have to go to, you have to go to the local level. I'd have to go to Nashville and see what the people are saying about their things. But this really feels like it is just a Trump versus anti-Trump race on a national basis. And even though there's a lot of hate around Donald Trump, what has the left done to earn anybody's vote? As I said many times, there were a few good things about liberals and Democrats. There were very few, but there were some pretty important few ones. They've lost all the good parts of the Democratic Party. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks so much for joining me today. There is other stuff in the news. We'll certainly have, we got one more week to the midterm, so we'll see what happens with Chris McDaniel. Let's hope there's some passion on the McDaniel side that gets people to turn out and maybe some awakening with the people who have supported establishment candidates for so long, if they would wake up and look at the results and realize that maybe you're not being served by the kingmakers. Maybe there will be a turn in polling and in the results that we see come next week. Big news of today, one of the biggest things is Trump's executive order that he's considering on anchor babies in the United States. It's interesting. I'm going to come at this from a slightly different point of view. Number one, I'm not a big fan of executive orders, even when I get my way on things. And the reason is that it becomes a king situation. And these things can be undone and, you know, we'd have challenges in the Supreme Court if he were to do this. I would imagine it's probably fairly popular for people to think about these things. But Trump makes a point in his statement about this that will not be talked about at all. The United States suffers a great number of self-inflicted wounds. And much like health, which I cover every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we misdiagnose the problems, and we are constantly trying to address the symptoms. If with health care we begin to pay attention to the causes of cancer rather than just trying to run around and feed the pharmaceutical industry to find a cure, notice they never do, we might actually get somewhere. But instead we talk about symptoms. I'll play this clip. This is the teaser from Axios HBO that got Trump to say, I think probably he probably caught a lot of people in his policy team off guard by announcing this so quick. This reporter was fishing. And Trump jumped on the hook. Now, I don't think it's really a good thing or a bad thing. I just think he probably caught some people by surprise. But this was the clip that is started this whole conversation.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits.
Now, there you go. It's that statement right there, with all of those benefits. To the left, I would say, and to Democrats, you can either have a country with open borders or you can have a welfare state. You cannot have both, at least not for very long. You will bankrupt your country. And see, we've set up a system here where the government does everything for us. We allow the government to do everything, and they steal from us to do the things that buy them votes from different constituencies or line the pockets of special interests who lobby them to get certain favors. That is the government we have. I don't care what you want the government to be. I don't care what you wish the government would be. I don't care what you think the government is. The government is nothing but it's a tool of force to give power to the people that are in charge of it. That's what the government is. Now, we can argue, as a libertarian, I'll tell you, the smallest, most local government, the most decentralized is always the best. It serves, you know, the more local your rules are or your government is, the better off for you because you can address certain things. You can move from community to community. You could move state to state. A big federal government traps us all in. I mean, just think about the insanity of the fact that many people are going to watch these midterms worrying about, you know, people in Mississippi are going to be worried about whether or not the people in Montana elect the right person. How does that make any logical sense to you at all? Because if Montana tilts the Senate to Democrats or whatever, so we've got to worry about what the Montana voters are doing, because what they do is going to affect every nook and cranny of our lives here is in central Mississippi. See, this doesn't work. Never will work. People will never be happy about this. We will always have a largely dissatisfied country as long as you have this strong federal government. But Trump's point is, how ridiculous is it that a illegal immigrant can come here and have a child, and that child is born and lives for 85 years with all of the benefits that they get. Now, largely what I kind of take that to be is the fact that they have access to the welfare system. They have access to public schooling. They have access to, you know, health care, Medicare, Medicaid, all these other things. Now, some of those you pay into. You pay a few pennies, you get back big dollars towards the end. We need to fundamentally rethink. Now, see, what would happen is if we did not have this welfare state, people would not be attracted to coming here for benefits. You would have the truly productive people. You would actually see an immigration system that ebbed and flowed with the needs of the American society, needs for labor. And then when there was not labor here, you would see immigration wane. And that would actually really benefit a lot of people. You would see a workforce here without all the benefits. We've got so many social benefits right now that I can't remember what the number is. It's something like you got to make something around $60,000 a year to pull somebody completely off of government assistance, because that's the net benefit that they're getting once you get into WIC and into welfare and into Medicaid and into all these different things. You basically have to have someone get $60,000 to pull them off the couch. Now, a lot of people do it anyway because they want to be productive members of society. They'd rather work than sit around. But we have created this system, and I say this again, Republicans haven't done anything about this. Democrats want to put it on steroids because they think it buys them votes. It's bankrupting the country. But the problem is the system that we have that hands out stuff. We could even get into, and I don't have time in the show to do it and don't really feel the need to do it today, we can get into the public schooling system. We could you look across the board. What has happened here is we have a system here where we've allowed the government to intrude every area of our life and to spread this money where they want. And people, whether it's immigrants or anybody else, is all trying to line up for the trough of government benefits. If you cut that off, you would see the immigration problem stop. If you were to stop the war on drugs, you would see the violence in Mexico and Central American countries stop, and they wouldn't need to flee their homes. I know, Micah, not all these people are scared for their lives. They're just coming up here. I know all that stuff. But if you can look at Mexico these days and see the hundreds of thousands of people who are either killed or shot in Mexico right now by the cartels, do you know what cartels do? Cartels are black market drug operations. If you took away their funding, and I'll say it again, Jose Cuervo and the Corona people are not shooting people in the streets in Mexico. So if we changed our policies in the United States, we could dramatically change immigration. We would have immigration when we wanted it, which means if we are just prospering. And let me tell you, you go down my route where we have zero personal income taxes and we tell the government, hey, you live off the constitutional taxes that, you know, and fees and everything else that you actually are entitled to, which is profits on corporations, even though people actually pay those because corporations always figure out their taxes into the price of goods that they charge. But at least then, but we're already paying those now. Your government takes in about $2.7 trillion from fees and corporate taxes and things like that. Take that, live off of that. That's what you got to deal with. Leave our pocketbooks alone. You want to see prosperity in the country? That's the way to accomplish it right there. We talk about the stock market going up and the economy booming because they give you a 10% middle class tax break. What about 100% middle class tax break? And again, I say to all you people out there who think that taxes from the individual are essential to run the government takes in $2.7 trillion in taxes and fees from things other than individual income taxes, and that was enough for them to run the government in 2007. So why isn't it enough for them to run it in 2018? Well, there's been inflation, really? Well, they better figure that out. They better cut some stuff because that should be the bucket of... Anyway, what I'm saying is we've created this big system that is like a light to a moth. We bring them in here, and rightfully Trump is complaining about the fact that we bring illegal immigrants in here and they suddenly are on the... Now, I'm still hazy on exactly what welfare... But I don't think, you know, illegal immigrants cannot just go get direct welfare, but they do have access to hospitals and to public schools and to other social services that do cost taxpayers money, even though immigrants do pay taxes. Even if they work in black market, if they've paid under the table, they pay taxes when they go to different places. But again, what we've done is misdiagnose the problem and perpetuate policies that end up costing us on immigration. And if we were smart, we would change those policies and we would see the problem essentially disappear. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, you bringing out some excellent points concerning the taxes and all of that.
Yeah.
Man, the problem I'm having is that here it is that when I don't balance my budget, I don't have nobody to fall on.
I know.
When I don't balance my budget, hey, how my light bill is going to get paid and how this is going to happen. And so if I have to figure it out, I agree totally they could figure it out. I did the math on it, man, and if I can get back just half of what I pay in taxes, that would be like a second job almost.
Absolutely. People would send their kids to college for cash. They wouldn't be saddling kids with $60,000 in debt. People wouldn't be financing. They wouldn't be taking out home equity loans. You would free up the stuff. Now, this wouldn't serve the banks very well, which may be part of the reason we're a debt culture now. But the government takes in plenty of money to operate as a small government, which was the design of this country and the beauty of this country from the very beginning. But they've convinced us that taxes are some kind of the price you pay for a civilized society. That's just hogwash.
Exactly. Mike, and I'm not asking for a handout, man. I'm not asking nobody for a voucher for my electrical bill or to pay my rent or nothing else, man. I'll never, ever have a problem. I pray every day, Lord, just let my feet touch the floor. I'll do the rest.
Right.
And if he opened up a door for me, I don't mind getting up going to work for mine. All I'm saying is just let me enjoy the fruits of my labor. And all I'm asking for is that I work for. That's it, man.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between us as the American people right now as a sharecropper? Essentially, what the government tells you is that when your feet do land on the floor and you're in the United States, you're going to have to pay that 30% VIG to us so that we can do whatever it is we do. They've made a mess of things. Nobody's really happy with the results overall. But somehow you got that 30% VIG on you. You're going to work until what's Tax Freedom Day now? Something like April 6th or something like that. You work and every dollar that you earn goes to the government. Man, it's not their money. And I get so sad to see Republicans or anybody talk about a 10% tax cut like they're really delivering from
like
them.
Like you did me a favor, man. Really?
Yeah, right.
Seriously. And my thing is, Mike, and all I'm saying is with this, man, people got to wake up, man. It's not a party. And it's not a Republican that's wrong and right. It's not a Democrat that's wrong and right, man. It's all of them, man. We got to do something better, man, with what's going on in D.C. And it's real sad, man. It's horribly sad, man. And I appreciate what you're doing, man. Keep telling the truth, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate the call.
All right, Mike.
Thanks. Yeah, well, there's signs that Americans are fed up. Look, Donald Trump, love him or hate him, it was a sign that Americans had enough of the current system. It's like I talk about it. It's like rocking over a Coke machine, man. You can't just run up and push it over. It's just too big. You got to push it a little bit, and then it rocks back. And then you take that momentum of it rocking back the other way, and you push a little bit harder. It takes a little while to rock it over. It's kind of why I'm getting into this Chris McDaniel stuff. We've got this opportunity to upset the establishment, which is wildly popular. There's a populist movement. We have not been served by these people. We need to keep pushing this machine. I think a lot of people think, well, we gave one good push at it, and we elected Donald Trump. Now we can just sit back and just do whatever he says. Man, Trump can't do this by himself, and to be honest with you, he shouldn't do it by himself. People have got to keep demanding accountability on this stuff, and taxation is one of those issues. I mean, I bought into it. I thought it was just a fact of life. You know, what do they tell you? The only things that are unavoidable are death and taxes. I got to tell you, taxes on a local level, we can all decide on that. There are services that we want on the local level. On the federal level, they were never supposed to touch our income. They need to leave that alone. We need to start freeing our mind about that. Be right back. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now is the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. You know, I do kind of a long-form show here. I kind of call it the the album rock of talk radio, I get kind of deep into some subjects where you can watch Fox News for hours and you're going to get an understanding of the issues that is a mile wide. They may cover a lot of things, but it's about an inch deep. I try to be fairly wide. I try to go across different topics, but I want to go deep, 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 because I want people to understand that, again, the causes of our problems, not just the symptoms and trying to address them like whack-a-mole all the time. We have fundamental problems here. And I end up with every show, I don't know when I'm going to learn my lesson, but I do hours and hours of research, and particularly when I find a topic that I know is important, I will find stuff that I could talk about for 2 hours. And it's important stuff. I don't know I'm talented enough to make it interesting for 2 hours. I have this interview with Rand Paul that I want to get to, but I don't have time to do it today, which is fine. I'm kind of glad to hear. I'm glad to get some of these calls about this Chris McDaniel race that are encouraging me to think that, oh, well, this, it just seems like a big block of the population is down with some change. So maybe we'll see that manifest next Tuesday. But this interview with Rand Paul is very important. I also have an... I probably need to keep these together. There's an interview, or actually it was a speech, a town hall type thing done with Vladimir Putin, and it's extremely important to the future that probably a lot of us will see, but definitely our kids and our grandkids, that will not be covered anywhere else. So now I'm spending time on the show saying I'm probably not going to get to those things today. I'm going to have to find a time where I've got a good long time to go through this because, man, I'm telling you, this is a waking up process. We have for too long allowed the media and the two political parties to frame our arguments for us, and they create problems, they ignore the fact they created them, and then they pretend they've got the solutions to them. Look, it was the Democrats that introduced... I believe the HMOs and other things into our medical system that ended up shooting prices up. Both parties let the pharmaceutical lobby and other medical establishment lobbies in, and then they come to you and they say, oh, costs are going through the roof. Let us tell you how we're going to fix it. It's going to be Obamacare. Now the Republicans say they're going to replace Obamacare and they're going to repeal. And at first they started just saying repeal, then they said replace because they know they've got to continue to pander to their lobbyists to keep healthcare under their purview. We've got to start getting down to the root. And that was one of the things that is just kind of a philosophy of mine or whatever. And maybe I got to it with the health stuff. When I started realizing, when I woke up to the way the medical system treats symptoms and pharmaceuticals for all these symptoms, and I look at the results we're getting, and disease rates are going up, pharmaceutical profits are going up, quality of life is going down, and I ran into this natural health thing, and I listened to a little of it and made some common sense. I tried it on myself. It worked, and I realized, oh, going to the cause of the problem is better than just constantly addressing the symptoms. And we keep addressing the symptoms. And what Rand Paul, in this fairly long clip I've got of him, and what Vladimir Putin talk about, and these two things, they're at the crux of stuff, man. The Putin stuff is talking about a trend that is sweeping the world right now, which is to start getting away from the U.S. dollar and how that might play out. And nobody's going to talk about it. You're not going to hear about it on Fox News. You're not going to hear about it on conservative radio, because it's out there. But it's this trend that's going on that could just crater our kids. And it's based largely on our foreign policy of people like John Bolton and Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo. See, these are the problems. And they come out on the news every day and tell you they're the solutions, that they're going to act with this sanction or that sanction, or we're going to move troops here, or we're going to hold this government accountable, or we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And everybody hears that like, oh, we're really taking action. They call it American leadership, but most people don't know what's going on behind the scenes and the catastrophic consequences of those things. It's such important segments. Look, if I'll do those, and because it's long form, I know a lot of people have to tune in and tune out of talk radio. I do a podcast of this show. You can get it at themikemadisonshow.podbean. That's like the little... vegetable, or I guess it's a legume. The Mike Madison Show at podbean.com, or you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes, The Mike Madison Show, so that you can, kind of get those things. I want to get today. I do want to do this Tech Tuesday segment. One of the biggest things that we're seeing right now that is a real danger, and again, it is addressing the cause of these problems, man. The political division, the hatred among people has been exacerbated by social media, and now they're making their move. They took down Alex Jones, and he was the perfect candidate for that because, you know, Alex Jones has said some important things in the past. It's not my style. You can certainly listen to his show and my show and realize that we're very different people in the way we approach things. But he's done some important stuff in the past. Now, he has become a warmongering neocon. I don't know what's happened. I don't know if it's just he's thrown in with Trump. I don't know if he got paid off. He still says some good things, but he's really changed. But the bottom line is this. Alex Jones has made a name with conspiracy theories that a lot of people say are just kooky stuff, and his bombastic style and his screaming and his crying sometimes made him an easy target for people to say, well, he's so extreme, we can get rid of him. Well, boy, they got rid of him, and man, it's just they looked around and said, yeah, we got away with that. And now they have come off after another 800 sites on Facebook that they've purged that are conservative sites. And now, to all you Democrats who cheered Alex Jones or cheered any of these conservative sites that have been deplatformed on YouTube, or their Twitter followers have been, you know, they've been shadow banned on Twitter and you've been cheering for those things. Well, now they're coming after the left because, believe it or not, on the left, too, the Democratic Party, the power brokers on the Democratic Party have a narrative and they don't want that deviated from. So they're now Silicon Valley in partnership with the power brokers on the left are starting to silence some of the left wing voices, some of the liberal voices. I think about Jimmy Dore. He's a comedian. He is a leftist. He's for universal health care. He's probably for a universal basic income. The guy's got a bunch of ideas that I think are terrible. I would debate him about it, but he's also hip to the thug that Hillary Clinton is, and he calls that stuff out. And he's had problems on social media platforms. So what we're going to talk about in Tech Tuesday today is five ways to find alternatives to these things. Now, am I going to start any brush fire with this? Nope. But I'm going to add my little drop to the ocean to say we need to start putting Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter in their place. They are now censoring us. I know you love Facebook. I know you get to put your lunch on Instagram. I know all these things are so satisfying. I mean, I don't get it personally. I don't understand any of these platforms. It's kind of like the news to me. I like having some pretty deep, profound relationships with a few people, and I love people. I mean, I'm happy when somebody posts a picture of a graduating senior. I mean, that's great. I'm always happy for people, but I think it's led to a little bit of a shallowness in society to me, and it's led to a lot of division. So I'm not a fan of social media in the first place. But the bottom line is, we didn't say anything when they came for Alex Jones, and we didn't say anything when they came for this last 800 people. And little old talk radio is still standing for now, but man, they are coming after us. They are censoring all of these different platforms, and it's very dangerous because they did it after we got really, really addicted to them, while we got really brought into these things. It's time to look for alternatives. The time to punish Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Google and anybody else that treads like this. PayPal is also they are a part of this too. Apple is a part of this too. Now, I'm sitting here with a Facebook account. I'm looking at my iPhone. I'm not pure in this, but I do know that we need to start fighting back. They need to be punished. You want to boycott the NFL because a player kneels? That's easy. Change the channel. These things are a little harder, aren't they? We have to decide if we're actually really committed to trying to reshape our society and start maybe getting off Facebook, maybe getting off of Twitter, or at least not buying anything from them. I'm on Facebook, and the one thing I say is I'm there because the people are there, and I'm putting out ideas that are contrary to what Facebook would want me to put out, and I haven't spent a nickel with them. Every time I put something on Facebook, they ask me if I want to boost my post for just $5. I think sometimes it's $3, and I just say nope. And I don't get a big reach. I've got several hundred followers from a Facebook page, but I don't get a big reach. Not a lot of people engaged with my stuff. I don't know if I can change that organically or not to reach more people. I'd like to reach more people either through the radio show or Facebook or podcast or whatever, but I'm not giving them a plug nickel. Then I'm ready to start fighting back against them as a platform. And there are alternatives popping up. The libertarian idea is that the free market takes care of a lot of things if we'll let it. So this is free market ways to take them down. I don't want the government to shut down Facebook or shut down Google or any of these things because they're private businesses. They just happen to be evil. So the best alternative is not more, because if you unleash the government on them, then when the wrong people get in charge of the government, imagine a President Hillary Clinton in 2020. I know I threw up my mouth a little bit too, but imagine a Hillary Clinton. What would she go after? If you have the government has the power to take down Google and Facebook and everybody else, what will a Democratic administration go after? Free market's the way to do it. We'll look at five alternatives to the current social media platforms when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Before I get into my Tech Tuesday segment of the alternatives to some of the current horrible, horrible, horrible social media platforms that are censoring, I can't resist this, you know, doing a talk radio show. I don't like to repeat other stuff, stories that other people do. I want you to have some variety, and WIAB's got a bunch of variety throughout its programming during the day. I don't do a lot of rah-rah Republican stuff here. I try to come at things from a different angle. But some stories you just have to do. And I came in this morning, and I'll talk to James Tulp, does the 7 o'clock show, and Jim Thorne, kind of listen to them and come in and talk to them about stuff. And I try not to rehash too much stuff unless I've got a substantially different take on it. But sometimes there's a story that we probably all have the exact same take on, but I just can't resist it. And I know this has already been done, and you've probably already seen it, but I can't resist. I get to do them every now and then, too. I get to pile on a very obvious story. This was Hillary Clinton. This is Hillary Clinton's comment. Her joke, I guess. They're considering it a joke on the left, but oh, if the right had said this.
What's often called political correctness is politeness.
Right.
It's not being rude.
Now, I've just got to say this, too. You know, I've never heard a personal account of interactions with Hillary Clinton on a personal level that ever made her sound like anything but just a terror on wheels. Just one of the most objectionable human beings to those around her. Everybody serves her. She is like a queen. And just watching her sit up and talk about politeness and how humans should interact. And you just hear anybody's personal account of this woman, and she is an atrocious, abominable human being.
And insulting to people. It's respecting the diversity that...
Like calling half of the United States deplorables.
We have in our society. So I don't...
Let me say this, too. I'll have a million reasons to interject into this clip. I'm telling you, the woman's in a back brace or something. She's wearing one of her Chairman Mao outfits again. I don't know who told her, yeah, this is your style. Now, I know she's got some body imperfections. That's no problem that she's got to try to accentuate her height or whatever. But her wardrobe is just creepy to me. But there's something going on with her. And there's been scenes before where she's wearing some kind of a back brace. There's something going on with this thing, too. I hadn't heard anybody talk about it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this is just a very poorly constructed garment. But I'm telling you, I think this woman, something's wrong with her.
Know exactly how to answer that, because you know the Democratic Party is a much more diverse political party, attracting people who are African American, Latino, LGBT, whatever the reason why people feel more comfortable where they are taken in, where they are.
And it's stunning to me too that she can't even include white in there now. I'm certainly no white nationalist or a racist, but I mean, can you just include whites in that? Could she not? I mean, it's just kind of inclusive. When you just talk about, I mean, I talk about it on the shows all the time. I mean, it's whites and blacks living together, Hispanics and Americans, you know, everybody can get along, but she can't even say the word white. I mean, can they not even say that word in the party? Again, I ask, particularly if you're a heterosexual white male, what are you clinging to in the Democratic Party at this point?
Are included as part of a political movement or party, And I don't think it's politically correct to say we value that. And I don't want to go around insulting people. I don't want to paint with a broad brush. Every immigrant is this. Every African-American is that.
Every Trump supporter is deplorable.
Every, you know, other person with, you know, different religious beliefs or whatever, you know, that's childish.
What do you think of Cory Booker's? And you didn't comment on him, and you feel free.
Oh, I adore him.
What do you think about him saying kick them in the shins?
And here it comes.
Start to get to that kind of political.
Well, that was Eric Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know they all look alike.
No, they don't.
What?
Oh, well done.
She says they all look alike, and the crowd just laughs and laughs and laughs. And the host there, which you've just got to assume, I don't even know who this was. I'm not going to do any research on this clip. I don't know who she was talking to or who this woman was, but you got to assume with that kind of glowing, praising interview that she's somebody on the left or somebody who would consider themselves some kind of a liberal or whatever. She says, after she cracks this joke about all black people looking alike, she cracks the joke, well done. Well done. And this crowd, I mean, come on. Oh, my gosh. And I hate to do this because I know it's such a layup, but had Donald Trump made that comment about a couple of black guys, they all look alike, it would have been the story of the day, of the week, of the month.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Tech Tuesday segment real quick here. Propaganda is very big in the United States. We think this is an old Soviet thing of censorship and surveillance and propaganda through their Pravda magazines. I hate to tell you, about 90% of what you see is to some level propaganda. It's either tilted towards one party or one viewpoint or another. It's not the news. The reason that you think you need to pay individual income taxes is because of propaganda. The reason you think we need to go to a war with Iran is because of propaganda. I could go on and on and on and on. The elites are scared to death. They are losing control of the people. And the people are starting to rebel about that. There's a stirring, as I've said, around the world. It's not just in the United States, but around the world. And it is an internet thing. Just like the printing press changed things, the internet has changed things. And so the elites are freaking out about it. They've got to keep us corralled. I don't know who came up with the term digital gulag, but I love it. They've got to keep us corralled. They've got to keep dissenting opinions out. They've got to hide them. They've got to take them out of the public consciousness. And what they're doing is they are using Silicon Valley to do that. It is time to punish Facebook, Google, YouTube, and Twitter. It is time to punish them. There are alternatives to these out here, and there's a Reason article. Reason is a libertarian magazine. I don't even agree with everything that they say, but they've got a good article here. Here's the title of it. I'm going to post this to my Facebook page, and maybe this will be what gets me kicked off. I guarantee you, go to my Facebook page and like this, even if you don't like it, just because I'm sure they will not allow this to reach very many people. But the headline of this is, ready to get off Facebook? Reason reviews 5 alternative social networks. So I'll post this to my Facebook page, and we'll see if it's kind of like, you know, when you have a mirror looking at another mirror, it just kind of, you know, it's just somehow it's going to implode or something when they, maybe this will get me kicked off. That's how I want to leave Facebook. I want to do something that makes them mad and they kick me off. It just makes more sense as a troublemaker to do it that way. Anyway, and you're getting this segment. Again, go look at this article to read it more thoroughly because I've only got a few minutes. And you're getting this information from one of the most technologically illiterate people on talk radio. I mean, I've never gotten into Twitter. Twitter seems tedious and busy. And I mean, I have friends who say, well, I get my news off of Twitter. And I'd say, how? Luckily, I already hate them before I ever got into them. So I've saved myself all the effort of learning how to navigate that platform with all the hashtags and stuff. It's one of these things seems to me to be about an inch deep. You get a whole bunch of garbage just to get about an inch deep understanding of anything, so I've avoided it. But anyway, here are some of the alternatives. Mastodon is all about decentralization, but they say, and I'm going to give you kind of their reviews on it too, they say it's also a hassle to use. Now, I can't vouch for any of these things. I haven't tried these, and everything's a hassle for me to use. iTunes is a hassle for me to use. I can't think of a less intuitive program than iTunes. They need to get some troglodyte like me into Apple to say, can you work this? And when I tell them, no, this is really hard to understand, they should start tweaking things to make it easier. I mean, I'd struggle with anything. So anyway, Mastodon represented one of the first forays into the world of alternative social media networks. It was founded in 2016. It is a kind of decentralized version of Twitter. So this is Mastodon is out there as an alternative to Twitter. I was going to look and see if they had, and they get in. Mastodon is many ways similar to Twitter. Users can blast out hashtag-filled, quote, toots, unquote, which have a 500-character limit. Boosts are the equivalent of retweets, and they allow a favorite. You know, all these little... I know I'm showing my age. I guess I'm just an old fart. I mean, none of this stuff's really appealing to me. But anyway, there's Mastodon. I was going to look and see if they had user numbers out there. But as an alternative to Twitter, something needs to take place of the censoring Twitter. This is a decentralized thing. You can go into this article. Again, it's on Reason Magazine. I'll put it on my Facebook page. And you can go and see the layout of it, too. MeWe. MeWe. MeWe's obsession with privacy means there's no one to connect with. Now, MeWe let me see if this is a Twitter or a Facebook. I got to tell you, I'm kind of butchering this segment. I believe this is a competitor. MeWe is in many ways similar to its main competitor, Facebook. Instead of friends, fellow users, or contacts who you can request to connect with, you can add information about yourself, post status updates, which might garner a share, a comment, or a simple emoji. The platform lets you update your contacts as to what food you're currently eating, what beverage you're drinking, and what music you're listening to, and why you're listening. So this is MeWe. This is an alternative to Facebook, apparently. Facebook, I don't even see a whole lot of value in that. All I'm saying is that there are things out there existing, and the free market will provide these things, but we've got to support them. First, we've got to get fed up with what we've got right now. I will continue to make the argument. I don't think a lot of these social media platforms are healthy for us mentally in the first place. But if you want to go do something, at least go to somebody who's rewarding free speech rather than someone that's cracking down on it, trying to censor. They're trying to keep you on the digital plantation. There's another one called Minds. They say, I expected Minds to be complicated and cumbersome. It's actually intuitive and tons of fun. Minds has an emphasizes on privacy and free speech. It's trying to differentiate itself from other social networks that censor controversial viewpoints. The quote is, Minds is engineered for freedom of speech, transparency, and privacy, the platform says. It's also, I believe, this is a crowdfunded thing. So, you know, some of these things take out the profit motive, and maybe they don't even do ads. I'm not really sure. Facebook is a competitor to Minds, M-I-N-D-S, Minds. So check that out. Let's see what else they have on here. Oh, Gab. Gab.ai. This is the one that's been in the headlines. This is the alternative to Facebook that has been within hours of the shooting at the synagogue. They piled on to Gab.ai. This is where I'm seeing this really dangerous trend is becoming faster, and it's becoming almost less noticeable. You know, it's like the old, you know, frog in a pot. It's like they turn up the heat slowly, slowly, and then suddenly, you know, everybody's just gone. We're seeing the censorship, but Gab.ai, the shooter at the synagogue shooting, had a profile on Gab. And so the mainstream media jumped on this, as did all of the social media platforms. PayPal took away their payment processing. Again, I say, how many school shooters have had Facebook profiles? Facebook didn't lose any payment processors. Facebook didn't lose any hosting companies. Facebook didn't lose anything. It wasn't blamed on Facebook when a school shooter had a Facebook page, an Instagram page, a Snapchat. None of that stuff went to them. But Gab AI is disrupting Facebook, and so they piled on them. It's gab.ai. I believe you can also go to gab.com. Now, it's down right now. They lost their hosting company. They've got fighting words in all of their statements saying we are not going to allow them to silence us, but it is a it's a free platform. You can pay $5.99 a month for Gab Pro. But anyway, this is one that I think really deserves some attention and some support when they are back up and running. The other one is Vero. Unlike the other four platforms, Vero can appeal to all sorts of people. Wants to personalize your social media experience so your connections aren't just friends or followers. So I guess this is kind of a combination of several different things. Again, it's called Vero, V-E-R-O. This is another one that is a social media platform. One of these will emerge. I don't know if any of them trade on stock. Some of these sound like they're crowdfunded. You know, these are kind of the rebel outfits out there right now. They're certainly not the financial powerhouse of Facebook. But some of these will succeed. Somebody will supplant Facebook. And from what I've seen by younger generations, Facebook is not picking up young people anyway. So they have got a shelf life on them. But I would say let's exacerbate that shelf life. Let's go ahead and take Facebook down and make a statement by saying we're moving to a platform that honors the American tradition of free speech. Yes, it's messy. Yes, there will be some kooks on it. There was even some notice in this story, and you can go look at it for yourself, of some porn popping up on one of these platforms. If you remember the internet when it first came out, porn was everywhere. It was like the first thing that was on, but it sorted itself out. Freedom is messy. Sometimes you have to wade through a little bit of garbage to get to the good stuff, and it naturally comes about through the free market. Freedom is messy, but it's time to start exercising that freedom and get away from these old social media platforms.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.